Welcome to our sponsorship forum. I'm Suzanne, compulsive eater, and Cheryl and Susan are both here. And let's start with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept
the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
Okay, so this is our once a month sponsorship forum, and it's 30 minutes to 45 minutes. We usually go to 45 minutes. You don't have to be a sponsor or have 30 days to ask a question, but if you are a sponsor and you'd like to share, please have 30 days to share. There will be a timekeeper. Susan will be our timekeeper, so if you ask a question, please be brief and to the point. Let's say on topic. If we go off topic, I'll just say that off topic was discussed at another time. So, and Susan will be our timekeeper at 3 minutes. So let's get started. So one of the things we are going to talk about today is anonymity versus gossip. And it's going to be a role playing. So ladies, if you want to take it away.
Hi, I'll do ring ring and be calling Cheryl up as a fellow. Bring, bring. Bring, bring. It's Cheryl.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Cheryl. Oh, I'm sorry. You're supposed to be Sophie Clutch.
Oh, I get it. That's right. We talked about this ahead of time. I'm sorry.
Oh,
hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Sophie Clutch Bucket.
No. It's the person I'm talking about that's going to be Sophie Clutch Bucket. That's what we decided. We had to come
exactly
up with a name that nobody else has to deal with this gossip versus anonymity issue.
Okay.
So sorry about that. That was my error. Hi, Cheryl. You know, I've been trying to do this See How thing, and the sponsor of mine, the Sophie Clutch Bucket, she just is telling me to do things I just don't know about this program. I don't know about her. She's telling me I can't eat at restaurants. She's telling me that I have to weigh and measure all of my food, that I can't take long to eat my meal, like drink my coffee with some milk later on in the morning. Is there anybody that we can talk to about this person?
Okay, Susan, let me try to help you here. For one thing, I've learned that I'm not perfect as a sponsor either. I try to do the best that I can, and if I have a question, I will ask my sponsor. So, and also I'll reach out. So if I feel that I'm not sure about what my sponsor is doing, I'll probably call someone out without giving their name or calling them Susie Clutch Bucket, and I'll tell them that this is the problem I'm having. What does your sponsor do about this? Or what do you think? Or, you know, the question about going to higher up, we don't have higher authority in program. You know, the program works so that in the triangle, membership and groups are on the top, I'm not going to say higher authority, but World Service is on the bottom. So we don't have someone in charge, and so the best that we can do is work things out on our own. There are times when it becomes impossible for the sponsee to work with a sponsor because of the restrictions. For example, you mentioned about not being able to eat out restaurants. That is not a guidelines of the See How program. See How does allow us to eat out. Now, if someone has a sponsor that does not allow them to, that's probably because the sponsor herself cannot deal with going out to eat. So she cannot sponsor someone who will. And that's fine. What I need to do is understand that and probably move on to someone that can help me and let me eat out. That's one area. Other things, for example, you mentioned that not weighing and measuring everything. We have to weigh and measure everything. I cannot go decide that, well, I'll take the 2 ounces of milk and I won't have it with breakfast. I'll have coffee later on. You know, it also depends on your sponsor. She's fine with that. It's okay. You can work it out with her, but I can't make decisions on my own. I have to discuss it with my sponsor. The fact that, what was the other thing you mentioned? But whatever it is, what I like to do is tell my sponsor, if you have a problem, if there's something you're not sure, you're not comfortable with, let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. Let's see what we can come up with. And then there's always the outreach calls. Without mentioning names, I'll say, what is your sponsor? How does your sponsor deal with this? You know, and listen. For me, the most important is to listen, to discuss, and then make decisions. Thank you.
No, I don't know about this. This crazy thing that you're doing. How long have you been in program? How much weight did you lose?
I get that all the time. Like, I'm programmed for 11 years, 14 years now, actually, 2001. More than that, 2001 is 16 years. I can't keep track because it's been so long, and I've forgotten because I'm so used to this program being part of my life. And the weight loss was 72 pounds. But again, that's not really important because each person works the program differently. Some people will lose 130 pounds in 2 years, and some will lose, you know, 20 pounds in a month. Some will only lose 6 pounds in a month. So the numbers don't really matter. What I was told was that, first of all, we don't get on the scale only once a month. And then I was told the numbers are not what runs my life. The numbers in the scale used to run my life. When I used to get on the scale and was up 2 pounds or down 2 pounds, that was the way my day went. You know, if I gained 2 pounds, I'd be miserable all day and try to figure a way to lose it. If I was down 2 pounds, wow, I was elated. The day was great. I've learned to not let the numbers on the scale run my life or ruin my life.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call, Cheryl.
You're very welcome. There's one more point I'd like to make is that sometimes when I would call my sponsor in the past, and I didn't like what she sounded like. She wasn't in a good mood. And then I would think, wow, I must have said something wrong. Maybe I didn't answer the question right. Or is she angry with me? All about me. Me, me, me. And I would hang up the phone and really say, you know, upset that she wasn't okay. She wasn't okay. It was me who wasn't okay. And I've learned in program now, I'm human. As a sponsor, I may have good days, I have bad days, I may have just had a situation before I picked up your call. Maybe I'm in the middle of doing something. Maybe it's an emergency thing and I have to multitask, which I never do, but I might have to do at that moment. Things are happening in my life that I may not always be in the same mood when I pick up that phone. I try to be. It does not reflect on what the sponsee says or does or how she acts. It's just what's going on personally in the sponsor's life. I have to learn that, and it's very helpful that I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Click.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. we could add more to that, but does anybody have any questions or comments? And it's star 6 to unmute. Okay, I'm Suzanne, compulsive eater, and I can share. You know, I first of all, when we talk to our sponsor, it's safe haven. It should be anyway, it ought to be. And I had a situation many, many years ago with a sponsee who got into a fight with someone at a face-to-face meeting. And my sponsee asked me to talk to my sponsor about it because my sponsor has been in program forever and 51 years, I think. Without never leaving, and so she has a lot of wisdom, quiet wisdom, I call it. And so I, you know, gave her the particulars, and she said, I don't need to know who it is. Just tell me, you know, the most pertinent facts. And at the end, the only thing she asked me was, were both people currently abstinent, which was vital. And I said, one was and one was not. And she says, well, you have your answer there. And she gave me some feedback. But I was able to go to my sponsor without breaking anyone's anonymity, but giving details, and I needed to talk to her about it on behalf of my sponsee. So there are ways of going to people and saying, is this right, or is this okay, or what is your experience, strength, and hope on a certain matter? We don't have to give names, but we can ask people about how to do this and how to do that. I had a sponsee a long time ago kept asking me, why do we have to do this, and why do we have to do that, and why? And I lovingly said to her, I said, this is why we make outreach calls. Call people and run it by them. And she came back and she said, well, now I know you told me why we have to make outreach calls. She was told, stop asking why, but how. So, and she was able to do that. She didn't break anyone's anonymity. She just told me, you know, I did that, and that's the answer she got. So that's my experience. Would someone like to share or comment or ask a question?
Hi, this is Linda M. I'd like to just make a comment.
Go ahead.
When I had sponsors that have asked a lot of questions, especially the why question, I can always refer to the Whoever Asked It book and say, you know, let's look at this together. And knowing a little bit about the history of this program helped as well to be able to say this is, you know, perhaps a thought pattern that why this works. And so that's been real helpful to me to have that book. I thought that.
Thank you, Linda. Well, yeah, Forever Asking the Book is vital. Ladies, would you like to share a comment on that?
This is Cheryl. Yes, the Forever Absent book is where it all begins at. But when I have someone that's rebelling, that comes in with these questions about why do I have to do that, or I don't like that, or, you know. It's so really inside the sponsor is saying, well, you know, this is going to be a hard one. Maybe I should not take her on. But that's when I remember that's what I was like when I first came in. I did not like what they had to do. I can't weigh and measure. It's too much. I'm too busy. I don't have time. All these things. And I came to realize that, again, if I stop asking why, if I start, and I explained that to my sponsee, the most important thing for me was, and I was told to get onto the meetings and listen. Listen to what other people do. Listen to how other people share. People will share about how they're working the program. People will share the difficulties they had and how they came about, you know, got around it. And that helped me. So for me, it's always about, I want to hear what people that have had time in program, how are they doing it? Because when I heard this thing about weighing and measuring, making the calls, all that work, how does someone do it? Where do other people get the time? Are they not working? You know, what's their life like? And then when I got onto the meetings and I heard people share and became like, hey, maybe I could do this thing too. So it's listening to other people is important. Also as a sponsor, I need to understand where the newcomer is coming from. When I came in, I had that anger, the resentment, all that, you know, negative thinking, hating myself, self-hate, no self-care. All these things, I came in with that. And I, you know, it was hard for me to let go of all of that. And it was a process. It took time. But a sponsor is sort of like, not really. I mean, I'm not a therapist. I don't want to be. I'm not qualified. I'm not licensed. But sometimes I feel that I need to sort of steer the person in the right direction. I do not give advice, but I listen. I understand where they're coming from. And not always does it work out. Sometimes, you know, it becomes where they just don't want to do it. And then I have to understand that too and accept that. But I try my best to work with that newcomer, no matter how tough it is. An example I have is someone that I worked with that was probably the toughest one I had, toughest sponsee. And she's in program back-to-back now for 11 years. I didn't think she would last a month. So it's never giving up, never giving up, never giving up as a sponsee, and never giving up on a sponsee as a sponsor.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any other questions or comments?
Well, this is Susie. I'd like to make a comment about the anonymity versus gossip piece. I
shared a sponsor with someone, and this individual said to me, I don't like the way she shares my information with other people. She talks about how I'm doing when they ask. This was my friend talking about our mutual sponsor. And she said, it's just breaking my anonymity, and I don't care for that. She eventually went back out. But it was a real contention for her, and rightfully so, because if somebody asks for information about another person, the best thing to do would be to say, well, you need to call them. You need to talk to them about it. Sometimes you can't get through to the person, but if you've got their email, you can send them an email. But, it's tempting sometimes if you have information about how somebody's doing to pass it on. But that was a real problem for this friend of mine, and I can understand why. So to shield your sponsees from gossip and to protect their anonymity, I think it's a privilege to be able to do that. So this is a good topic. And sometimes there's fine lines, but sometimes people's abstinence depends on it, because they could get, whatever. But I think it's a privilege to be able to shield somebody else's anonymity, and I'm glad that this topic has come up. Because counselors, they could lose their license if they don't shield people's anonymity. So when I look at it like that, and I think, oh, I could lose my license, or I could lose my livelihood if I don't shield somebody's anonymity, it puts it in a totally different perspective than, oh, I'm just sharing information about my sponsor. So it's a serious business, and I'm glad that it's the topic. So thank you.
I'd like to share on that. This is Cheryl Susanna. Is that okay?
Yes, go ahead, Cheryl, and then she has a comment.
Yeah,
go ahead.
This is vitally important to me, to keep anonymity in place. An example that I had recently was two sponsees. They knew of each other, and I was very close with them. With one of them, it was a friendship, and the other one stopped calling, and eventually left program. This one moved out of town and kept asking me about that one. She had no idea. She kept saying, oh, I got to hang up because she's calling you soon, because she knew she would call me right after her. I never told her this one hasn't been calling me for half a year. I never let on. You know, once in a while she'd say, well, how is she doing? I'd say, fine. But I would never let on that she wasn't in program anymore, for many reasons. You know, it could have a negative effect on this sponsee. And it was not something that I had a right to divulge. Absolutely not. So talking to one sponsee about another is absolutely a no-no in my book.
Susan, would you like to
share something?
Oh, who is this?
This is Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for your service. You know, what I really had to realize and discern that, you know, anonymity and confidentiality are two different things. As a therapist, you down to confidentiality. I think as a sponsor, we learn. I mean, I'm very different today than I was 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 20 years ago, and we make mistakes. And the other thing that I also realized, if somebody asks me something, what's their need to know? So I will say, call them, or I know in 12-step, if someone's in trouble, you can call their sponsor and say, you know, maybe you want to call this person. I mean, that's how we were taught. But everything is such a learning process. I'm definitely not the way I was at one time. I am less aggressive. I'm kinder. I'm smarter. I'm wiser. But that took a whole lot of years. And, you know, one thing I know for sure is I just don't know a whole lot. But the willingness to learn and to be... And if I read my literature, especially Absence Forever, it will tell you, it will tell me exactly what to do. But just because I make a mistake doesn't mean I am a mistake. But I also find it very, very important that if somebody does something that's incorrect, they may not have meant it, but I will address it. There was a time when I couldn't address it. So being part of what the program teaches is to do my very best to follow the steps and the traditions. And that doesn't always happen by many of us, including myself. But I need to learn that there is a...
1 minute.
Thank you. A fallout. If I don't follow the traditions, if I believe what AA says, eventually that particular thing will fall apart one way or the other, because we don't bring in any outside issues. We can't. That's why we have the steps and the tradition. Because if I want to start talking about my problem in life or my mother, my brother, my father, a shooting, racism, if I bring all that into meetings, there will be no meetings. That's why we have our traditions. So being a sponsor to me is an amazing process, but it is a process. It's not an event. It took me a long time to learn, and especially my original sponsor always told me, you know, keep your rod on your own plate. I didn't really understand it for many years. Now I do. I might make a mistake. It doesn't mean I am a mistake, but I need to apologize if I do make mistakes. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else who would like to share or ask a question about this topic?
Hey, Suzanne. It's Francine. I'd like to share.
Go ahead, Francine.
Good morning, everybody. I guess for me, talking about anonymity, I'm looking at the line in our format that, you know, when we close out a meeting, it says, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I've had a few instances as of late of my having to look at anonymity. Whenever I need guidance with a sponsee, I do talk to my sponsor. I never share, even with my sponsor, that person's name or even an initial. For me, I know this might be a little closed-minded. I'm willing to admit that anonymity for me is more black and white, and that there really, in my opinion, shouldn't be a gray area. I know there might be very few instances where you could get into a gray area, but never, never, never divulging anybody's anonymity. I don't even tell people who my sponsor is. I don't believe that anybody's, it's not information that's relevant to anybody else. So I feel very protective when it comes to anonymity and very careful of it. And without it, I'm just looking on 12 traditions. And without that unity and that promise that we have the protection that we can share whatever we need to at meetings, and it stay there, that is the tenet of how and why this program continues to work, has since the 30s, and here we are, 2017. So thank you for allowing me to share, and for this meeting.
Thank you, Francine. Anyone else who would like to share or ask a question about this? One, Suzanne, I can share a little more. I sponsor quite a few people, and unbeknownst to me, two of my sponsees are really good friends, and I didn't know that for a while. And so that was good, you know. Two of my sponsees a long time ago did not really get along together, so I never share about one about the other. Two of my sponsees have told me that if something in their story can help someone else, I have their permission to share it with someone else. I don't give names, but they both told me, we don't even care if you give our names. But I'm very clear, I don't share personal details about what's going on in their lives currently. And both of these people have repeatedly told me, if something, you know, comes up where you think some part of our story could help someone, we trust you that you can use that information wisely. And, you know, I don't discuss one sponsee with the other. Every once in a while, we're all human, they'll say, how so-and-so, I said, call her. Oh, yeah, I'll call her. So, yeah, it's a very fine line. And like I said, being a sponsor, this should be a safe place for the sponsee to come to. So would someone else like to share or ask a question about this? Or Susan, I don't know if you'd like to share on this.
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'll go second. I didn't realize I'd come in over you. Sorry about that.
Susan, you go first, and then...
Well, I was actually going to, if I'm going to share, I would actually like to share very briefly on the no higher authority aspect of how 12-step recovery is. So if people are wanting to stay on this topic, I'm fine with that.
Okay, Catherine, did you, we'll come back to you then, Susan, because that's the other aspect of this, the art of role play. Catherine, go ahead.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much for this wonderful workshop. So I have real difficulty around anonymity, breaking anonymity, I should say, with who's sponsoring and who's somebody's sponsee. And I know I can tend to be a bit idealistic, but I wanted to just check with the panel to see what's reasonable. For example, I have a dear friend, and I have a lot of special areas of interest, and I know they were trying to be helpful to put me in touch with somebody, but I now have a resentment, which I've got to deal with, because I think it would have been enough if that person had just told me, oh, you might want to ring so-and-so because she's involved in such-and-such. Possibly, I think that's reasonable, but then I learned from her that she was sponsoring that person, and even though I knew when I heard that, there was that sort of awful clunk inside when I felt so uncomfortable, but I paralyzed and I didn't say anything because there was some kind of payoff for me, you know, of power of knowing that. That's my, you know, fourth column part. But is it I mean, I feel like I shouldn't know who sponsors anybody. And face-to-face, I'm sure it's different that you see that, but on the phone, I don't need to know that. Is that reasonable? And if it was that had happened to you, would you have said to the person, you know, I don't need to know that you sponsor them, or I want to know how to do it better next time. I'd be interested in any experience.
Susan, would you like to answer this?
I'll give it a go. It's something that we that is part of anonymity that we all should be mindful of and hold who is being sponsored by whom to ourselves, whatever it is that we know, not be sharing it, not sharing it as a sponsor, talking about who our sponsee is as a sponsee, not talking about not naming our sponsor as well. You know, I know it's done imperfectly. I know fulfilling that tradition is done imperfectly, and I would say certainly consider just naming that break in the tradition with kindness, with compassion is an option. Certainly recognize that if we were to hear somebody do that, you know, to see how that sits with us. What if that were done, you know, to me, someone talked about me as a sponsor or sponsee to a third person as a way of bringing home why this is one of our cherished traditions. That's what comes to mind right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, I don't know if you want to
address this. I'd like to thank you so much. I don't want to know who your sponsor is. I don't want to know who your sponsees are. I've lived that way all my program life, and I'm comfortable with that. I once heard someone recently share. She was sharing, and she said, my sponsor, and she gave my name, and she continued on. I winced. You know, the reason why is down the road, maybe next week, next month, or whenever this person will be speaking about her sponsor, and maybe not such a positive way, I don't know, maybe yes, maybe not, people will know who she's talking about. And so that was one thing that happened to me. But I think that's something, that part of anonymity really has to stay in place with me. I don't need to know who your sponsor is. I'm more comfortable guiding you and helping you, answering the question if I don't know who your sponsor is, especially if you're complaining about something that you don't think she's doing right. I'll listen and try to help, but I don't want to know who the other sponsor is doing that. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any other, okay, I'll share briefly. I'm Suzanne, and if this happens, you just can say lovingly, I don't need to know that. And, you know, we are human, and we don't always know everything, and we do the best we can. So that's where I like to kind of step back and take the pause before I respond, because sometimes I can be in a vulnerable, sensitive place. I would just say, I don't need to know. And that's the way to deal with that. Susan, would you like to share on the high authority aspect of this?
Sure. Hi, I'm Susan, compulsive eater, and this can be a tricky one for us. We want, I'll speak for myself, but I've heard this from other people as well. You know, I want someone to give me the rules and tell me how it's supposed to be, and I put that in quotes. And CHOW does give me a lot of very clear guidelines about how to operate in each day, how to do my program, how to weigh and measure, and all of that. And then there are the pieces that are not prescribed and laid out of this is how you do it. There can be a tendency to say, well, here's a messy thing, you know, can't WSO make a determination about it? The answer is there's a very limited number of things that we can go actually down the ladder, because as Cheryl did say, the top of the hierarchy in 12-step recovery and CHOW specifically is the group/member. And then below that is the intergroup, and then the area, and then WSO. They're just trying to keep, WSO's mission is to keep the organization healthy. And they're very limited in how they do that, like issues on food specifics that aren't laid out in Forever Abstinent is often just turned back to the sponsor and the fellowship, you know, figure out what's right for being sponsored by this person, how they work their program, and that's largely how they're going to sponsor their sponsees. Things, just healthy meetings. There's guidelines about healthy meetings, and then the meetings happen. It's not the ideal, but, you know, going down to WSO, often just, you know, they'll circle it back up to the fellowship and the meeting itself. I'm struggling talking about this in more generalities, but these are ways I've seen this request come up. Can't somebody make a decision about this? We're learning how to be in relationship to one another, just keeping in mind higher power and the health of the organization as a whole, and the goodwill of our fellows is probably the best way to proceed when we run into difficulties. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. I would just like to add, if some of us are having an issue with our sponsor, need to change sponsors, we really don't need to bash that person. I've had that happen. It's one thing in the moment where we could be upset and we may need to vent, but then it ought to end. And just remember, all human, and that may not be the sponsor for you. And then the best thing to do is move on and find another person that is a good fit for you. I always tell people that are new, just get a sponsor, and if it's not a good fit, you've got 30 days or 50, whatever. Work it for 30 days, one day at a time. And in the meantime, look for someone else if it's not a good fit. But in the meantime, you're starting the program and you have someone. So you know, be mindful of, you know, we're all human and be loving and kind to the best of our ability. Would anyone else like to share on this topic?
Hi, this is Cheryl.
Yes, Cheryl, go ahead.
Yeah, on higher authority, Susan was right. World Service will not answer questions, particular questions on food. I've tried that in the past and others have. Where I'll call up World Service and I'll ask them, first of all, how does World Service work? The board members of World Service, there'll be someone assigned to answer questions every month. Someone else will be there. So when I speak to that particular person that's on duty that month, I'll present my question. If it's about food, the answer has always been, we can't comment on the food because that's between you, your sponsor, and your higher power. And so what I've learned is that the higher authority in my life is my higher power. Sponsors guides me, helps me. World Service is the organization I believe I belong to, but my higher power is the one that's really in charge. So if I have a problem with food and I want that food and it's not coming to me, or we can't find an answer to whether it's allowed or not, I let go, turn to my higher power, and have him help me get rid of that craving or the need to have that food. And anything else I've heard in one of the past forums that we had where someone was complaining about what their sponsor was doing, how they were dealing with a certain situation that she wasn't happy about, and had heard from others that this was happening. And the question was, who do we go to have this person corrected or told that she wasn't following the sponsor's guidelines? Well, the answer was, we don't really have someone that you can turn to. Because, again, if you present this to World Service, and we can't have people sponsor the way we'd like them to sponsor. If they're doing something, it's because that's how they can deal with it. Like I mentioned before, somebody's sponsoring, and she's doing something that's not within the guidelines because she cannot deal with it. Or you have people that have medical abstinence, and then they'll call someone up, and they said they were available. Well, I can't deal with medical abstinence. Why can't she deal with medical abstinence? Because in medical abstinence, your food is a little different. You have a metabolic, which is a snack between meals, because that's what the doctor prescribes. But that person can't deal with it for her own recovery. She can't deal with hearing someone turn over extra food. So I can understand that. Sometimes the newcomer doesn't understand that. You know, I'll get called because I used to be the sponsor coordinator. Why don't they want to sponsor me just because I have a medical abstinence? That is why. And so, you know, I always need to understand the other person and accept it. And if not, then just move on.
Thank you, Cheryl. And I'd like to add, you know, the newcomer will learn we have to take care of our own abstinence, and that goes for sponsors, too. I just think sometimes the sponsors don't always have the wherewithal to say, I can't deal with it or I can't handle it. It's not good for my abstinence, because maybe if someone were new, they wouldn't understand it, even if they were told that. But that is what I tell people, is they cannot handle it. And sometimes medical abstinence is just breaking up your meals, just as simple as that, and someone cannot deal with that. Does anybody have any other questions or comments?
Just to keep watch of the time, we have 4 minutes to the
45-minute
okay.
point. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have time for one share or one question. Okay, I'll just add this and then we'll close. A lot of people say, who decides what is in the Forever Abstinent booklet, and this is important? Well, the delegates at the business conference, their motion is presented, and we delegates get to vote on it. That's how changes are made. Sometimes there's food that becomes available, quote-unquote, new, that is abstinent, but it is not in our wonderful Forever Abstinent booklet. And that's how those changes get done. And there is a process to that. So, let's see. Our next sponsorship forum is
December 3rd.
December 3rd. Okay. Our next get-together, sponsorship form will be December 3rd at 11.05 a.m. Eastern, 8.05 a.m. Pacific. And I want to thank everybody and your comments and shares. Thank you, Carol and Susan. Thank you for allowing me to do this with all of you. Let's close with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Courage
to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
I will not be done. Thank you, everybody. And if anybody missed it and they want to know, it will be on the recording line. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Suzanne.